Dufferbet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to Dufferbet, WPL Radio.
Fair to say it's probably the best performance we've put in so far this season.
Yes, the men in black are back after an initial 3G wobble. Balor still in touch with the top three. We'll hear from Stuart J. Jones in a second. TNS in touching distance of a Hampden Park final. And selfishly, that's left me with a bit of a predicament. More later. We'll hear from the Merthyr fan who's turning into a Met Ultra. Matthew Burgess talks to us about his power rankings. And Jonah's here too with a look ahead to the weekend. But first, Balor bashing ABBA in the battle of the 3G newbies. Let's hear from Stuart J. Jones after that game.
Fair to say it's probably the best performance we've put in so far this season. First 45 minutes, you know, every one of us was bang on it from the moment the game started, really, and we fully deserved that 4-0 role.
Came off the second half, just was it a precaution? Or?
Yeah, just precaution. I had a little bit of double vision and, yeah, got off there. I was taking a bit of stick off Colbert, yeah.
And to prove everyone in Wales is called Jones, Mark Jonah Jones joins me now. Jonah, first thing we learnt this week, Balor are back in business.
Yeah, Mark, it seems like they're back in business. They did have not the best of start to the season, and everybody was aware of that. We spoke about the change of pitch that coming from, you know, the Maesteg, which wasn't glorious grass at the best of times onto the 3G surface, but they seem to have dealt with it now, and they're right back up amongst a bunch. I think Balor winning on a Friday night put a little bit of pressure on Bangor and Gap Connors Key to go and win, but they both won it. So for me now, there's a straight three-way chase for second and third ball. Will Cardiff Met have something to say about it also? I know we're talking about Balor, but all these names, I think you can leave Cardiff Met's name out of the hat as well as Balor.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting tussle back in that second and third place spot. There's another interesting tussle going on around sixth as well. We'll talk about that later. But the second thing we learned, Jonah, you know, TNS could win this Iron Brew Cup.
They were fantastic on Sunday afternoon. You know, I went up with a little bit of trepidation commentating from the studio. And I was hoping, like everybody else in Wales, that they could get a win. But after watching the Alawar and Balor game, I was a little bit worried about standards. But they just blew that scenario out of the water. They were fantastic. They really were. From the first minute to the last minute, they looked solid. They looked professional. From the goalkeeper, Harrison, who sometimes goes under the radar, Mark, is handling in them conditions. You know, he's playing on 3G surfaces most weeks, and then he goes and plays on, you know, a wet, not saying muddy, but slippery surface, and his handling was impeccable. I thought his performance went under the radar. He showed his experience, and the rest of them, they looked like an experienced team who can handle big games, and they were comfortable 3-0 winners. There's a sense of atmosphere gathering with the competition, and let's hope Welsh football fans can get behind them. Can we mention, Mark, that we had a chat earlier on and said, you know, how easy it's going to be to get to the semi-final against St Mirren. All the airports, you know, from Cardiff and elsewhere get there quite easy. Can we get a couple of hundred Welsh football fans to follow the new Saints and make it a big, spectacular event for the Welsh Premier League and for Welsh football fans?
Well, look, me and you had that chat, didn't we? Because obviously our Lord and Master, Gwyn Derville, the Secretary of the League, as per ever, typical man from Gogledd Cymru, he's got a good deal. And he's got a good deal on the ticket prices up to St Mirren, apparently on the flights. It looks very tempting. And yet, absolutely, I think every single one of us, I know what some Bangor fans and some Connors Key Nomads fans think of TNS. But look, hey, they're flying the flag for Wales and it's a jolly out to Scotland. And I think, you know, it would be enticement for the Gap and the Bangor fans if they jumped on this little bus and we all went up to Scotland to see St Mirren in February, you know, because of course Bangor want to be there. Of course Gap Connors Key want to be doing that next season. Why not have an early taster of that? And yeah, I'd absolutely advocate, get down the travel agent now, let's see what's online, let's flood the place and let's flood that away end at St Mirren, because I genuinely believe that game's for the taking, and I genuinely believe, unfortunately for me, because I don't know whether I've I've mentioned this before, Jonah, but you are speaking to an Arab. You are speaking to one of the few, if not the only, Welsh Dundee United supporters.
Well, we'll put up with that, Mark. You know, if we take you, if we like to meet you in the final, that'll suit us fine, because that'll be fantastic. You can sit there and I'll sit the other end with the TNS fans, and we'll sing all afternoon in competition. But let's get this thing going. I mean, what is the difference? There was a Pontypridd played over in Spain a couple of years ago and took, you know, 500 or 600 fans because it was organised well. You know, what's the difference between Pontypridd and going to Spain with, you know, bright sunshine and being able to go get in their shorts? And what's the difference with going up to St Mirren on a freezing cold January or February afternoon where you could have a good whiskey to keep you warm, eh, mate? No difference at all. Let's get behind the new Saints. They deserve it. And it'll be a fantastic event.
Yeah, you'd need 10 whiskies in St Mirren, and I'm absolutely up for it. And yeah, no, look, this is a problem. Now, I've got it worked out, Jonah, because it's definitely going to be a Dundee United TNS final at Hampden, right? I'm doing 20 minutes in the United end. I'm doing 20 minutes in the TNS end. I'm doing 20 minutes in the press box and 20 minutes in the exec box with Mike Harris. And, you know, I'll have a few minutes floating around for injury time, but job's a good one. And actually, this is probably the only time I would ever consider wearing a half and half scarf.
I'm sure you'll be welcome wherever you sit, Mark. But I think you forgot your half-hour stop for grub in between.
Oh, no, I'll have that on the move, mate. I'll have that on the move. Anyway, yes, absolutely. Let's see where it goes in the new year for TNS. And, of course, we wish them all the best. Now, the third thing we learnt, we talked about a tussle between second and third, Jonah. Surely now, for me, there are three teams battling for that sixth place. Llandudno, Aberystwyth and Carmarthen, they're the only ones that are in it. I mean, I know Rhyl's up there, they've got a game in hand, but the game in hand is TNS, isn't it?
Well, Rhyl's game in hand is TNS, and they haven't been on the best of runs of late, but I don't think you'll be able to tell, you know, young Niall and the Rhyl players at sixth place is over yet. They still got, is it six games to go, I think, so they'll still believe they can win 5 out of 6 and get themselves there, but it's a real tight contest now for sixth spot, like you said. Llandudno, they suffered a 2-0 defeat to Gapconnor's Quay on the weekend. Aberystwyth were blown away by Bala. Carmarthen was surprisingly held at home 2-2. I think that may have been the result of the weekend for, you know, Kevin Druids and Hughie Griffiths. Great result, because I know Hughie was struggling a little bit. The ruling with goalkeepers, and he was a little bit unhappy with the ruling with goalkeepers, which meant that Stuart Cook, his midfielder, played in goals. But that's a great result for Kevin Druids, and that's a point which could go a long way to securing their status in the Welsh Premier League. But as you said, Mark, the sixth spot is available. And with the way every team is competing so well in this league this season, I just wouldn't want to be in a bottom six. So these next six games for them three teams are absolutely vital.
Let's hear from Llandudno assistant manager Sean Eardley and Carmarthen's Mark Hazelwood after those games.
We've done everything we can to try and get back in the game, but, you know, credit to Connors Quay, they were organised in the second half. I think they made it difficult for us to break them down. You know, they'll be absolutely over the moon with a clean sheet. But, you know, the work rate was there. The effort, we just couldn't nick that goal. You know, I think a goal to us would have changed things like. But, yeah, you know, it's another home loss. It's disappointing. But we've just got to dust ourselves down now, work hard this week and, you know, hopefully bounce back against Bala next week.
Disappointed in as much as, you know, you look at Kevin Druids at the start of the season. It's one of the games that you target 3 points, to be perfectly honest. Everybody knows we're without six players, five from injury, one from suspension. We don't carry a big squad. But having said that, you know, we came up with a shape of a team that suited what was available, really. And the problem was not the fact that we had five injured and one suspended. The problem tonight was quite simply we conceded two sloppy goals, irrespective of how you play. Now, when we score, and I felt that we would score, as we did, that it had to be to put us in front. And at half-time, gone in at 1-1, I think it's the sloppy penalty. And therefore, second half, I said to the players, if we keep a clean sheet second half, we'll win. And that was the problem. If we kept a clean sheet first half or second half and did what we did, we would have won the game.
Well, Jonah, the fourth thing we learnt, should we be more worried about Airbus rather than Newtown or Druids?
They're not in the best of form. Andy Thomas, he's had a tough time since going in there. He believes they're playing well, but when you're in a dogfight, sometimes you haven't got to be playing fashionable stuff. It's all about points. It's like cup games, and it's down to a cup game situation now. They've got about, is it 17 games to get out of the bottom two? So you're going to have pretty football, and please people and say, yeah, we're doing well, my right back's playing well, my left back looks a promising player, my centre forward will get goals for us next season. Anybody who's been in that dogfight before, and there's a lot of us who have been, will know it means nothing at the end of the 90 minutes apart from a result. You're only there at the moment to please yourself as a manager and the players, and the only way the players and the managers will be pleased is by getting decent results. It's a result-based business, and from here on in, you know, it's not about fashion, it's not about style, it's about points and the capability of staying in the Welsh Premier League.
Well, we'll have a look at how they're going to do in the coming weekend very shortly. The fifth and final thing we learnt from last week, another year, Jonah, another non-Welsh Premier League team in the Nathaniel Cup final. Last time it was Denby, this time we say well done, Barry.
Yeah, well done, Barry Town and Gavin Chesterfield. And their victory was surprising. They come on the back of a couple of dodgy weeks. They were knocked out of the Nathaniel Cars, Welsh League Cup by Llanwit Major from Division 3. Then they suffered a 3-0 reverse to Rhys Griffiths' Bridgend Town. So I think the smart money would have been on Carmarthen going down and getting a victory in midweek. But a superb, superb goal by Jordan Cottrell, a 25-yarder into the top corner. Sometimes special goals make special victories, and our semi-final victory for Ballytown is fantastic. It just rekindles memories, Mark, of the old days where they were regularly in cup finals. And you know Ballytown are still a sleeping giant in Welsh football, and this could just awaken them and their fans a little bit more. They've worked hard over the last couple of seasons. Don't forget, 3 years ago they were in Division 3, almost out of business. They fought back from then, and to see the Linnets back in a cup final is fantastic.
And I bet there were a few screaming selfies taken. And don't forget, that competition is still running for the Nathaniel Cup. Take a selfie, or if you did take a selfie celebrating that goal, what you're going to do is tweet that picture to @NathanielCars on Twitter. Mark it Nathaniel Cup selfie. The best ones will win a month's use of an MG car. That's after Jonah's wrecked it. And good luck to either TNS or good luck to Gap Connors Key Nomads, who will meet them in the final. Now, think you're the best at fantasy football? Jonah does. Well, don't wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge into the test and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Just go to DraftKings.co.uk/WPL now. That's the most important bit, WPL, to pick a team and enter this week's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200. That's DraftKings.co.uk/WPL to play for free, and DraftKings are supporting us here on the Welsh Premier League podcast. Well, this is the Davabet Welsh Premier League podcast, and we only speak to the powerful people on this podcast, and one man who sways a lot of power in the Welsh Premier League, his tweets and his blog eagerly anticipated every week, is Matthew Burgess from Inside the WPL, because he does the WPL power rankings every week, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, Matthew?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you think of this league so far?
It seems closer than ever, really. I mean, you've got TNS, obviously, who are pulling away at the top at a rate of knots. But beyond them, it's unbelievably close. And you know, every team has something to play for at the moment.
Now, we did have a discussion about whether it's incredibly close because they're all very weak and TNS is exceptionally strong, or they're equally as strong as each other. Have you had more thoughts on that since we last spoke?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think the problem is teams are struggling for consistency. I mean, you've got the likes of Connors Key, who are sort of leading the rest of the pack. You know, defensively, they've been excellent. They've been really, really strong. But elsewhere, you get teams sort of, particularly in the mid-table, they'll win a couple of, drop a couple of points. And what you find is every team, well, all the teams are bunched up together, and, you know, two or three good wins on the trot, or good performances on the trot, and you could really find yourself climb up the table.
Are you surprised by Newtown and Airbus being where they're being?
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at Newtown, that's an absolute myth. I mean, you look at their games, they haven't played particularly bad in any of those matches when they were struggling for wins. They've got a proven squad there, and the Chris Hughes, who has previously steered them to sort of top half the table finishes. And like I said, the squad hasn't changed that much this summer. So they've got an experienced squad to know each other. A lot of familiarity there. Proven players like Jason Oswell. Strong defensive cornerback with Shane Sutton and Mills Evans. And yeah, it's a real mystery, really. It's one of the stories of the league to see them struggling the way they are. But I think with them, it's more about confidence than lack of ability. And I think if they get that spark and just find that momentum, which I'm talking about with those teams being so closely packed together, I think, you know, again, they're the perfect example. Two or three good performances and they'll be out of trouble and looking upwards.
So when you do the power rankings, what's the thinking behind them? Obviously, the things like how many goals they scored and whether they've won or not, that helps. But what are the other sort of factors you take into consideration when you move people up and down that table?
Well, first and foremost, it's not to be taken too seriously. You know, it is a bit of fun, and it's the main aim of it is to sort of cause a bit of discussion, and people are more than welcome to disagree with me or challenge me on my points, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, so if you are sort of struggling in my rankings, then please take them a pinch of salt. But what I would say, I think it recognises individual achievement. So, for example, a lower-placed team, say, such as, I don't know, at the moment, Kevin Druids, if they had to go to TNS and get a draw, they might only get a point in real life on the table. But in terms of the rankings, it'd be valid a bit more. So it's more individualised on the team's needs and the team's achievements. So I think you might you get perhaps a more accurate representation of where the clubs are at right now as opposed to the league table.
And come on then, own up. Which managers and players have been on the line giving you grief about their position?
Well, I don't want to go into that on you, but I've had one or two messages and a couple of digs about your power rankings from fans as well. But, you know, all in all, like I say, you've got to take a pinch of salt, and I try and back up any positive or negative with some sort of rationale behind it. You know, I watch a lot of the league. I know a lot about the players and the clubs and what their sort of standards are. And, you know, I call it as I see it. If they're doing well, I will say, and give my reasons why. And if they're not doing so well, I'll be honest in my assessment of that as well.
Hey, you've not punished Real this week because they're a week off, have you?
No, they're okay. So on Thursday, they might be affected by other teams around them going up or down. So there might be a fall because of that, but obviously I think Mel McGuinness will be glad of a week off anyway to get his team on our training ground and looking to find out that poor form.
Only one parish notice this week, but it's hilarious. Go to Cardiff Met's Twitter account and see their attempt at a mannequin challenge. Fantastic. Well, there's lots of people who turn up at Welsh Premier League football games, including, you can't believe this, Merthyr supporters. I'm joined now by Andrew Evans, a.k.a. the Roving Sheep. Now, he goes around a lot of grounds around Britain, but he also pops down the Met when Merthyr are not playing. I'm delighted that he's joined me now on the line to talk about his Met experiences. Andrew, thank you for joining us. First off, we'll talk about your support of Merthyr and how long you've been a Merthyr fan.
Being a Valley boy, of course, over the years, historically, I've been sort of watching Merthyr on off since the late 80s, the Di Webley glory days, and throughout the 90s, occasionally went to a few away games, such as Gloucester City and Burton Albion. So it was a sort of a natural progression for myself to get in touch with the Di Lemphin Merthyr boys, who are a great, great bunch of lads up there going home and away and sort of make a bit of a new start with the Martyrs, if you like. A throwback to the 80s, dare I say, really, going back on the terraces. Good banter with the keeper and, of course, less problems with police and hooliganism at that level. It's more like a rugby culture. So it's great to go away and enjoy it, you know. And moving on from there, of course, I sort of looked around, had a bit of a reality check like a lot of people and looked at actually what was happening in the Welsh leagues, games around me. And it was a hole in the world, if I'm honest, Mark. I sort of latched on to Port Talbot Town, met a few of their fans, the 1901 lads a couple of years ago. Great bunch of boys. So I've been watching Welsh Premier League for a couple of seasons on and off with the Port Talbot lads. And, you know, combined with that, of course, doing a bit of work, just getting out and about, if you like, seeing the grounds around from Welsh League Division 1 to Gwent County Football. And it was actually pre-season. Merthyr Town played Cardiff Met and it was a 3-0 win to the Martyrs. And it was a fantastic game. And bumped into a former colleague of mine, Matthew James, who's now the PA lad down at Cardiff Met, and he said, "Why don't you pop on over?" So I said, "Why not? I'm only twice, you know, over Caerphilly Mountain and drop down." So that's how it started, really. So this season, I'm sort of one of the new converts, if you like, to Cardiff Met, and sort of going down, embracing the football there, joining the sort of fan base that they're trying to create, and take it from there, really, Mark.
Now, with your experience at Merthyr, you've obviously seen some great football there and a great atmosphere. On the atmosphere front, were you a little bit nervous about Cardiff Met? Because, of course, the feeling was, you know, it's only a student team. They're not going to really have a loyal and massive or sort of vocal fan base. It's going to be a bit sterile. Have you been proved wrong on that front?
If I'm honest, Mark, I've been totally proved wrong. I think a sceptic at first. I must admit, I thought, well, you know, university teams, like a lot of people, a bit of apathy, if you like. But as soon as you go down there, you're sort of made to made welcome from the start. And crowds have been holding up, you know, a few hundred there. And of course, in the early days, I think it was a bit sterile, if you like. The makeup of the crowd seemed to be sort of girlfriends, wives, a few local, you know, fans from Kincode who live near the campus. And that was it, really. So I think initially I did wonder to myself, well, where's this actually going? Are they going to create a football atmosphere there? But I'm glad to say, through the power of social media, the team, they've done a great job putting themselves on the map. They're trying to embrace the local population. Obviously, Cardiff City, you know, a huge club on the doorstep. And there's a lot of Bluebird fans who obviously may be able to get along to some of the matches on a Sunday. And I have seen, as the season has progressed, it's a real mishmash of support now. You've got Cardiff City fans popping along. Local groundhoppers who are coming from Newport. I saw fans from Barrytown. A few of the lads from Merthyr popped along yesterday. So you've got groundhoppers in attendance. But more importantly, from a football point of view, the actual students themselves on the campus seem to be galvanising sort of themselves into action. Good bit of banter against the Riddle demolition of 4-0 a few weeks ago. And I noticed yesterday, believe it or not, there's even an ultra culture now. There's drums, chanting. And I think they've launched themselves on Twitter as the Met Ultra. So look out if they are on a European adventure. There could be flares, flags, and it could be like the San Siro. You never know.
You know the sausage that's chucked at the Welsh Premier League, you know, substandard, non-league at best. What was your take on the football that you've seen so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a lot of football over the years. I mean, my take on watching, you know, games at Cardiff Met and obviously Welsh Prem with Port Talbot previously, I think the standard is pretty much sort of equivalent to Merthyr's League and the Southern Premier League. But of course, teams towards the top, you know, TNS obviously are doing a fantastic job. They're just demolishing teams in the Iron Brew Cup recently, of course, progressing through there. And it's no doubt to my mind, TNS, you'd have to fancy, could be, you know, top off of the conference team, second division. Bangor City, of course, new owners, money being thrown around.
So you're saying Southern League possibly, because you've obviously seen a lot of Southern League with Merthyr as current standing. If that's the case, and I have to disagree with you, I think it's a little bit higher than that, but if that's the case, for goodness sake, why doesn't Merthyr join? Why doesn't Merthyr join the Welsh Premier League? The cost would come down. They'd get European football. It's an easy sell, surely.
The argument, of course, from a Merthyr point of view, we've always been, played in the English Football League, and of course have been in the Southern League ever since. So I think our history as a club has always been Southern League based and sort of in the English systems. So I think amongst the supporters, there's no real clamour or desire, I think, to join the Welsh pyramid system, such as Newport County and Coleraine Bay, of course. And of course, furthermore, now it's sort of a double whammy, if you like, that the club now is a fully run trust-owned club where everybody's an owner. You get votes and decisions. So, you know, it democratically, of course, if it was put to the vote to the members, do you want to stay in the Southern League or do you want to go back to the Welsh pyramid? I can say hand on heart, I think the vote would probably be 90%, 10% to remain in the English system. I think the fans enjoy having the jolly over the border and going down to Weymouth and trips to London and such like, rather than playing teams, you know, numerous times a season up and down the A470. So in a parallel universe, you know, I think we could wave the magic wand and sort of tomorrow throw in Cardiff, Newport, you know, Swansea, Wrexham, and sort of, if you like, have an equivalent of the Scottish Premier League. I think it could work, but I think, sadly, I think now the ethics and the way these teams are sort of progressing different avenues, I can't sadly see it working at the moment for Merthyr in that setup.
There was no situation where when the previous Merthyr went bust, if you like, and the new Merthyr rose from the ashes, that people thought maybe one of the reasons this has happened is because we're spending a lot of money on travelling to Weymouth and London. And yeah, if we are this good, we can walk this league every year. We could be playing Apoel, Nicosia and people like that.
No, absolutely not, Mark. I mean, you know, these fans, I mean, the dilemma for Merthyr lads, you know, we're taking a full coach away every game, you know, over the border. And that's what the fans enjoy. That's where the history is. I mean, sadly, of course, mismanagement at the club, you know, like a lot of clubs contributed to the downfall of the old Merthyr Tydfil. And I think fans realised we had to take control. They actually liquidated the club themselves and thought, you know what, we're going to try and get back to where we feel we belong, which is, you know, certainly the Southern Premier League, which is a level we were at before Merthyr Tydfil were liquidated. But of course, Merthyr's always been a football town. We feel we've got the population and the fan base to take it forward into the Conference. And I think ultimately that's where we're looking to go, you know. So I think it's progress through stability is the motto at the moment. You know, I mean, you look at some of the wages being paid on a parallel basis to some Welsh clubs, and we can't even compete with some teams, you know, in League One in Wales. So we know our limits. We know our boundaries. And I think the gaffer at Merthyr now, Dino and Gav, are doing a good job recruiting lads from Welsh leagues who want to play for Merthyr and sort of see where we can go in the English system.
Well, Andrew, I'm glad you enjoy your time at Merthyr. I'm glad you enjoy your time at Cardiff Met. Long may your love for Welsh football, wherever league it's played in, continue. And thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Mark. Thank you very much. Take care now.
Now for the games coming up this weekend. The preview time. You can bet with davabet.com, of course. Please gamble responsibly. It's Carmarthen against TNS. You know, home form is always interesting and being at home is great, but it's TNS, isn't it?
It is TNS. But Carmarthen have a pretty good record, I think, against TNS, especially at the old Gold's home pitch. So, you know, they'll have a plan. They would have watched, I'm sure they would have watched in trepidation, most probably, watched them take care of Livingston 3-0. But it's one of them games, Mark, when you're a manager, when you take TNS on, especially at home, you can set your stall out and you can say to your lads, look, this is one of the games of the season where we most probably haven't budgeted for any points. So if we were to get a point tonight, it's like 3 points. If we were to get 3 points tonight, it's like 6 points because nobody else is taking any points from him. So it's one of them games where Azle might have two options. You know, he might go man for man like he usually does, sit in and just bring TNS onto him and try and nick one on a break. Or he might roll the dice and think, I got nothing to lose. Shall we have a go at them at home? We'll have a bit of a decent home crowd. TNS always make people come out and watch them on a Friday night. They might have 400 or 500 there on Friday night. He might say to his young guns, let's have a go at them. Nobody else has beaten them all season. What have we got to lose? I think it's could be an exciting encounter. And I get down there. I think I might go down there myself anyway. But TNS looking for the record. This will be their 15th win in a row if they get it, which is unbelievable in the league, which will leave one more to go to break the record. Great game to be at. Plenty at stake.
And before I forget, the odds for both of those games. Aberystwyth are 4-6 for a home win. Druids are 7-2 for the away win. It's 11-4 for the draw. And then the Old Gold are 11-1 for a home win. 1-6 for the away New Saints win. And 6-1 for the draw. Let's go back to that a second, Jonah. All right. 11-1 might be out of reach, but 6-1 might not be.
6-1 the draw. I think their bookmakers, whoever he is, he knows this league inside out, and he's getting cleverer every week. He's waving big odds to entice the punter against TNS because they just haven't failed. Their consecutive victories are making the odds, you know, build and build and build. I mean, you could have, you know, a fiver on 11-1 to draw back 60 quid. You could have another fiver on 6-1 to draw back 35, and you know, you've got two bets for a tenner there, which would give you a couple of quid with two choices. And I'm sure there's a lot of punters will take that, especially on a Friday evening. 6-1 the draw against TNS, Carmarthen versus TNS. I might have a distant uncle to have a shilling on that.
You're not subtle. You know, you're not supposed to be gambling. You're not subtle.
I'm not. I'm not supposed to be gamble. I don't gamble, by the way. I do not gamble, right? But I'll get a distant auntie to tell my distant uncle to have a shilling on it then.
Oh, no, I used to like doing this job. We're going to get sacked next week now. Right, Saturday, 4:30 kickoffs. And for me, the one that I think is the game of the day is Airbus against Rill for many different reasons. Look, Rill had a week off last week because TNS were playing in the Iron Brew Cup. I'm sure they weren't relaxing by the sunshine of Rill. I'm sure they were working hard because for both of these teams, it's a must win.
The term six-pointer is staring everybody in the face who's involved in this game. Airbus, they're not on a great run. Andy Thomas will tell you that. Like I said earlier on in the podcast, he found it tough since he's gone there, but I'm sure this is the game that he will be looking to get out of that bad run. Rill and Niall haven't had the best of times at the moment. And young Niall and his squad will have targeted this game to get out of their bad run. So, you know, this could have been a game, I think. Had there been a Scorio game this weekend, this would have been one I would have liked to have attended, because I think everybody involved in this fixture will think they're due 3 points. Everybody will expect 3 points. Airbus will expect three. Rill will go and expect three because of the run Airbus are on. So this could be the game of the weekend, even though they're, you know, they're both not doing well at present. I just think it could be the game of the weekend where goals could fly in and they'll just have a go at each other.
Well, Davabet think that Airbus are the slight favourites at 10-11. A real win is 13-5, and then it's 5-2 for the draw. Now, we've spoken about Cardiff Met, and this will really be a test of their top three metal ambitions, I suppose, because they take on Bangor City. They host Bangor City at a 2:30 kickoff down at Kincoyd. It's 11-8 for a Cardiff Met win, 17-10 for the Bangor City win, 12-5 for the draw. Who's going to win this one, Jonah?
Bookmakers odds tell you tightest odds of the weekend. I think they're offering Bangor 17-10, Cardiff Met 11-8. Whoever the genius is in that bookmaking department, he can work them out either. Met are on a great run at home, Mark. They really have impressed me. You know, they're going from strength to strength. Andy Legg's Bangor take the TNS game. And I think we mentioned on Scorio, you know, TNS demolished Livingston 3-0. They just beat Bangor 2-1 the week before, which stands up for the other teams who were trying to keep up. People say TNS in this league, them winning is not great all the time. Just goes to show, if Bangor City are getting that close to TNS, the standard in this league is rising all the time. And that's why it's great to have a great team in the league. But Cardiff Met at home against Bangor, I think Andy Legg will know this is his toughest test. Second place, like we said, Bala chasing him, Gap Connors Key chasing him, Bangor. If I think Leggy would target the win, but would take a point from Cardiff Met. And if I was him, I'd be exactly the same. And Christian, with a great run they've been on against the top, you know, top two team, he may target the win, but he'd take a point. So very intriguing game this. You know, two form sides, great players, a lot of good youngsters. This is the most probably the game of the weekend with the most youngsters in. There's a lot of youngsters in a Bangor team with a lot of football scouts looking at them now, Football League scouts. And there's plenty, I've heard, starting to come and watch these youngsters down at Cardiff Met. So I think it'll be the game where there's plenty of Football League scouts maybe watching this game, Mac.
They'll have to extend the stand for them. Now, our theme today has been Back in Black, so we've got the black and whites of Llandudno and the black and almost whites of Ballytown meeting. Good news if you fancy a bit of football on Saturday. It's half price, I do believe, down at Llandudno for this one, so get yourself down there for a 2:30 kick-off. The odds from Davabet are as follows. 15-8 for a Llandudno win, 5-4, slight favourites to Ballytown, 12-5 for the draw, and the slight favouritism towards Ballyjona would imply how well Ballor have done of late.
Yes, it would. You're back, like you said, Mark, at the beginning, they're back on track. They've had a good run. They would expect now to go to Llandudno and get a result. They are becoming accustomed to their 3G. You know, Llandudno have had the 3G for a couple of years. Morgan's team are doing okay, like you said. He will want that top six spot so much, Alan Morgan, after gaining European football in his first season. So it's a big game for both managers. It's a big game for Caton because he wants to stay, you know, tight on the backsides of Gap Connors Key and Bangor City. And like we spoke about earlier on, Alan Morgan will want to distance himself away from Aberystwyth and Carmarthen. So another intriguing game. Every game this weekend, Mark, has very much, you know, very much importance on every game. Llandudno 15-8. There might be a few people, Llandudno home fans, they might fancy that, you know, Bala 5-4 going to Llandudno. But Llandudno are a good side at home. And when they play well, they're one of the, you know, they are one of the better sides to watch in this league as well. So this could be a good game. I say yes again, yet again, and I haven't had it for a couple of weeks, but Llandudno Bala, there goes my draw of the weekend.
Yeah, that's a good call, to be honest with you. And then finally, you said every game is important. Oh, look at Newtown. They get a win and then they get two really tough games to play off the back of that. They're hosting Gap Connors Quay, who, like you say, really do want a win to sort of keep on chasing for the second place or keep in the second place run down. It's a 2:30 kickoff. Newtown are the outsiders on their home turf at 13-5. 10-11, the favourites, Gap Connors Quay. 5-2 for the draw. What do you think, Jenna?
I think Chris Hughes would have been disappointed in, after his great 2-0 win a couple of weeks ago. He would have wanted something from the Bangor game. He would have been desperate to get something from the Bangor game. They're supposed to have played well again in getting defeated 2-1. But like I said earlier on, Mark, it's just not about playing well now. Playing ugly is just as good as playing well now. When it's points, you need to stay in a Dafabet Welsh Premier League. Two different scenarios here. Hughes, he needs the points to start looking at security. Gap Connors Quay need the points to secure, you know, a possible European football. So there'll be two different changing rooms, but obviously there's only one of them going to get the three. I don't fancy the draw. I think Gap will go there, and because they've played well last week, I think they'll go with the impetus of a victory in their sights. I just think for Newtown, even though they need more than three, it would be a good point at this stage of the season for Chris Hughes if he were to get a point off, you know, a good side like Gap Connors Quay.
Well, they're all enthralling games, and I'm sure that we'll all enjoy them. Thank you for your time, as ever, Jonah. Don't forget, this time next week, me and Jonah will be talking about the Welsh Cup, because it's third round weekend, and we'll be previewing that. All the best to all the teams this weekend, and me and Jonah will see you next week. Say goodbye, Jonah.
Mark, the Welsh Cup third round, there's a slight word going around down here that Tom Penter are targeting 1,000 fans in their home game against Bangor 3 weeks Sunday. I've just been with one of their officials, Rob Dowling, and he says if we do not get 1,000 fans at home against Bangor, we'll be disappointed. If every other game ends up like that, we look forward to it.
Indeed. Well, Bangor fans, if you're listening, you could get a couple of hundred and definitely push it over there. Okay, Jonah, thanks for your time.
Sign up for your Dafabet account and support the WPL.